welcome to a special presentation of Everything Home, the transformational show where we talk about life, stuff, and balance, and showcase good people doing good business and good things. This is our signature segment, The Massey Memo, with our expert contributor, Robert Massey, attorney, solution provider, and protector of the people at Massey and Massey Attorneys at Law. Robert delivers The Massey Memo on the first and third Fridays of every month. His engaging and entertaining personality gives the boring law just the jolt it needs to make you want to tune in and learn to better play the hand you've been dealt in this game we call life. Enjoy the show. Everything Home, the transformational show where we talk about life, stuff, and balance. We're a resource and community that shares stories, lets passions be heard, and showcases good people doing good business and good things. We've created a platform where you can do something to change your life or the life of another person, where thoughts, passions, and emotions are given an action that actually becomes a reality and makes a difference. It's a place where the community can learn from and support its own members. We deliver authenticity, celebrate heroes, and bring together a like-minded audience. The mission of our movement? Enhance the quality of your life. All of our guests and experts' information and their shows are listed on our website, everythinghometalkshow.com. We encourage you to check it out and begin to use it as a resource to meet, hire, and learn from good people doing good business and good things. Just click anywhere on their banners and enjoy the show. You can also listen and subscribe to Everything Home on iTunes, Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, TuneIn, Player FM, and Blog Talk Radio. We're making it very easy and convenient for you to listen to us and enhance the quality of your life. And remember to like and follow Everything Home on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. This is our expert contributor segment, The Massey Memo with Robert Massey, attorney, solution provider, and protector of the people at Massey and Massey Attorneys at Law. Robert will be delivering the Massey Memo on the first and third Fridays of every month. And today's topic, medical malpractice, how the entire industry is protected like no other. First my joke, then on with the show. This man was walking in the woods with a friend of his when suddenly he encountered a huge grizzly bear about 20 yards in front of him. They both froze in their tracks. As the bear intently stared them down, they contemplated what they should do. Finally, the man said to his friend, "I think we should run." And his friend said, "Are you crazy? You can't outrun a grizzly bear." And the man says, "I know that. I don't have to outrun him. I have to outrun you." I thought that was so funny. It has nothing to do with the show. Not necessarily saying that the bear is going to get eaten and then he's going to go into the hospital and have some sort of medical malpractice suit. But there wasn't really anything funny about the topic today. So I can't do an attorney joke because you don't like those. I don't want to trigger you and have to put you in a safe space for the rest of the episode. So God forbid.
You can do attorney jokes. It's fine. I'm used to it by now.
Well, yeah, there really wasn't anything like funny that I looked out for. Like, there's not really insurance jokes or, you know, so I figured that's kind of funny because I came up in a conversation the other day and I tried to deliver the joke and I screwed it up. So then I figured I need to relook it up because it's a good one and it's quick. And sometimes there's a lot of people.
Yourself.
I did. And I have quite a few people that I know that I would definitely make that comment to that, hey, I'm not worried about the bear. I just got to outrun you, dude, and I know I can. So, you know.
Exactly.
Exciting and new things. We've got a couple things to share. But before we do that, I want you to just give a story or two because you took the trek to Disneyland in sunny Southern California. And for those who have not been recently, add a zero when you go compared to what you thought you'd be spending. It's kind of like doing a remodel at a house at another 30 or 40%. Anything jump out at you that was really awesome or something that you wanted to share or a warning for parents?
Well, we, you know, there's a new Star Wars land that they just opened up. But of course, for the first month that this new land is open and it's outside of Disneyland, the only way you can get into the land is if you stay at one of the three Disneyland hotels, so either Grand California or Disneyland Hotel or the Paradise Pier. So, of course, that comes with the added benefit of just paying ridiculous prices for pretty mediocre hotel rooms, especially when you were born and raised in Las Vegas and you can get the best hotel rooms in the world for, you know, $100, $200 a night to then have to go to these ridiculous ones and pay an arm and a leg for them. But of course, my kids had to go into the Star Wars land. They had to do that. So we had to stay at one of the Disney hotels. And then we get into this land, and it was extremely underwhelming.
And
of course, my kids, there's a thing where you can make a lightsaber, and of course my kids had to do that. And so I then stood in line for a total of 2.5 hours to build these lightsabers. And of course, I have no use for a lightsaber for myself, but I stayed in line so long, by the time I got to the front of it, I was like, you know what? I'm building myself a lightsaber because I've been standing here all day. I don't know what I'm going to do with it, but damn it, I'm going to build one. So,
So is the lightsaber yours at the office? And how many times have you stepped on the lightsabers that the kids brought home?
Oh, you know, multiple times. Now I have three lightsabers at home. We can have little family battles. And carrying these things through the park then afterwards was just ridiculous. But my kids could have cared less, other than the lightsaber, about this Star Wars land. They wanted to go on, you know, a Small World and Dumbo. And my daughter's old Daredevil, she wants to go on all the big rides. But it's what we do for our kids, and got through it. That was my kind of compromise. I was sick and tired of throwing birthday parties for my kids, and so I told them that last year after I threw their parties, I said, next year, we're not having a party. I'll take you to Disneyland instead. So it was kind of a self-inflicted wound for myself of saying that. So I couldn't complain. I just had to get through it, but it was fun, and the kids had fun, so that's what it's all about in the end. And my wife's a big Disney fan, so she enjoyed it. And look, at this point in time, you know what you're getting into, unfortunately. You know how expensive it is. My dad famously did a Facebook Live a couple of years ago that got hundreds of thousands of views, just kind of going off on Disneyland and how expensive it is and how ridiculous that it's gotten. But at this point, you know what you're getting into. You know what you're signing up for. So you can't really come back and complain anymore, even though I want to, because you're gonna be spending a lot of money, and that's what it is. But I'm glad it's done. It's over. My obligation has been met. And
yeah, you've enjoyed the magic, and now it's time to go ahead and work real hard to pay off the credit card bills. So,
exactly.
you gotta love Disney. I mean, the whole concept, and we'll be really quick so we could get into the serious malpractice portion. You know, the beauty of it is after every ride, once you get out, they dump you right into the gift shop. And you're just like, oh my God, who thought of this? This is brilliant. And it themes for that ride. And you know what I mean? So it's like you can really get something off of after every single ride. And I'm sure because the new Frozen movie is coming out at Thanksgiving, so they were plugging that and brainwashing. It was probably even subliminally in the music, like, you know, you hear like it's a small world, and then in the background of the subliminal part is Frozen's coming November, buy Frozen 2, stop, you know.
And
the kids
come out like
zombies. I love Frozen 2.
Well, the new Toy Story movie comes out tomorrow, they were just plugging that like crazy, and they do get you. I mean, the first day I got there, you know, we go and we just get all the shopping out of the way, and I bought like 3 Disney t-shirts, and I get back to the room, and I ask my wife, I'm like, why did I buy these? I'm never going to wear these any other place other than Disneyland.
They were for you?
And so I literally came to my senses after I got out of the store, and I just went back downstairs and I returned them because I'm like, I have no use for these. What am I doing?
Unless you got like different styles, like you're like, okay, well, let me get a crew, let me get a V-neck for those, you know, a little bit more casual evenings. And you know, it's so hot in Vegas. Why don't I just get a tank top with a Mickey on it? You know, like you've got a little headband, kinda, like I'm sweating at the oldies. You know, you got this. What am I
you
doing?
Just kinda you can't.
You got carried away, man. They got you.
Yeah. Because you can't really wear Disneyland stuff when you're not
at the
in
gym.
Disneyland.
You can't show up to the gym with a Mickey workout t-shirt.
Yeah, exactly. So it was just kind of like, what is happening? So I at least was able to return that and came to my senses after that.
God, that's so funny. Yeah, the amount of returns that they have because of that moment impulse purchase like that must be just so funny to just get the stories when the you bring it back to the counter and the lady just goes, I knew you'd be back, and you just I had the fever, and you're like, I don't know what happened.
exactly. So
too funny.
They got me.
That's good stuff. Good stuff, my friend. Well, it's an adventure. I'm glad you guys got a chance to go. The kids got a chance to experience it because it is overall, it's just the whole concept's wonderful, especially the messages. And if anything they can get out of it, it's definitely a great way to learn about branding and marketing for sure.
That is for sure.
Follow in those footsteps and you will have success permanently. The other thing that I wanted to bring up is iHeartRadio. We're now on iHeartRadio, so that's our 10th listening platform. So like we say, we're making it easy for you to listen to the Massey Memo and the Everything Home Talk Radio Show and Podcast. So then there's just no excuse. There's no excuse not to be able to get at least 10 minutes of Robert and I.
Most people I know have iHeartRadio, so I mean, making it not only another platform, but another platform that most people have, and just makes it even that much more accessible. So it's very exciting to get on that platform, and just shows all the hard work that you're putting into the show is definitely paying off. So that's fantastic. So thank you again for the opportunity to be a part of it, and excited to see how we continue to grow and where we're able to take it.
Yeah, we're moving and grooving. So what we're going to do for all the listeners and all the people that are following us or not even starting to follow us on social media is that we're doing a contest through June 30th. What we're going to do for every like, comment, share, and follow on any social media page for Robert, the Massey Memo, for myself, and for the Everything Home Talk Radio Show, you're going to get entered into a contest. We're going to give away 7 $20 gift certificates, and that way you can either use it for 2 months of free membership for iHeartRadio, or as I figured out that I would probably use it, and I encourage others, go buy a steak, a bottle of wine, and listen to your favorite episode of the Massey Memo. So, hey, why not? So we're making it enjoyable, and you get a nice steak in your tummy and a little buzz. So, hey. Pick a fun episode and go to town. Enjoy yourself. So, through the end of the month, you could follow Robert. You could follow the Massey and Massey Attorneys at Law, which all of that information is going to be in the feeds and on the platform. So just check us out on social media. And that is for Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and LinkedIn. Anything that you like, comment, share, and follow, you get an entry. Then we'll have an announcement the first week of July, and boom, we'll hand out some gift certificates and encourage everyone to participate. Yeah, cool stuff, right? So I figured, let's give listeners, let's give some people some incentive to listen, and as a thank you for listening, we figured we'll give them back something that they can enjoy.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's just kind of a thank you for the support of the show. It's been great. Been amazing to see the support since I got involved with the show and kind of see its growth. So it really is just a way to just thank everybody, give them a little something. Like you said, obviously the listeners are the reason for it. We'll continue to to give back as much as we can.
Yeah, and if it ends up that we're getting a great response, well, then we'll have more contests, and we'll give away more gift certificates. We'll give away some prizes. We'll give away all kinds of stuff. So if, as long as we see the support and people like what we're doing and they want to interact, we will reward you. And it's like bribery. But you know what? It's totally legal. And if we can have fun with it, well, yeah. I can't pay everybody to listen to this show, but I can pay a couple people. So, yeah.
Exactly.
Nothing wrong with that. They do it in politics all the time. So all we're doing is we're just following our quote unquote leaders. There you go. All right, let's get on with our little bit of a heavy topic today, which is a medical malpractice, how the entire industry is protected like no other. And this kind of parallels some of the other topics that we've gotten into that Robert has really divulged and shared about when it comes to liability, personal responsibility, things like that. But since this whole legal world and the world we live in is just getting more chaotic and it's a lot easier to sue, and then there's all these other issues that are going on that just seem to be more common, wanted to really talk about this in detail. And Robert, he had, I believe it was a paper in law school. Was that the, like a thesis or something along those lines? And pardon me if I am making up legal terms and, you know, jargon, because I didn't go to law school and I didn't get there. So, you know, I believe that if that's the case, you did something, well, then, you know, homework does pay off. Because look, kids, you do your homework and now you can have a show about it 10 years later.
Exactly.
See, kids, it's smart to stay in school. Homework does pay off, kids. And that was a public service announcement from the state of Arizona and the state of Nevada's Department of Education. Bong, bong, bong.
So, yeah, in law school, everybody has to write kind of a law review article, and you choose the topic. And the one I wanted to do it for a lot of credits, so the paper that I had to write had to be almost 100 pages. So I was trying to think of different topics that I felt there was enough there to get that, have that amount of information to write that much. And medical malpractice is something that, you know, growing up around lawyers that were involved in that area was kind of always at the front of topics discussed. So that's the one I chose to write the paper on. And the reason why I wanted to do this topic today is because I think it's something that a lot of people don't really know about. They don't really understand what is going on with medical malpractice and when you sue a doctor, what happens and what occurs. So I just wanted to give people a quick insight as to kind of how this has developed. So for anyone that doesn't know, most states have a medical malpractice cap. Now, what that means is there is a literal cap on the amount of damages that you can receive in a medical malpractice lawsuit. It is not a cap on the total amount of damages. Usually, there is a couple states that do have a cap on the total amount of damages, but most of the states have a cap on the pain and suffering damages, which in a medical malpractice lawsuit are going to be your highest level of damages. Because when you're looking at the damages in a medical malpractice suit, you're looking at the medical bills, you're looking at any lost wages, you're looking at any future medical care that's going to be needed, and then you're looking at pain and suffering. Well, if you go in to have a procedure on your right foot and the doctor is transferring you after the surgery and drops you on your head, or he's supposed to cut off the right leg and he cuts off the left leg, the pain and suffering and having to deal with that is obviously the largest measure of damages. What the medical industry has been able to do is pretty incredible. And they have been able to get statutes enacted in almost every state that say your pain and suffering for that horrible mistake that I made that's going to impact the rest of your life, we're going to cap those damages at X amount. So in Nevada, the cap is $350,000. So, for example, there's been past cases that we've had where a nurse at a hospital gave a patient too much pain medication, which caused brain hypoxia, which then caused the client to have partial brain damage for the rest of her life. In her 30s, completely healthy, went in for a procedure, a pretty benign procedure, and ends up partially brain damaged for the rest of her life. Well, your pain and suffering for that, that's worth $350,000. It's unbelievable. It makes zero sense. These medical malpractice caps started in the 1970s. The first one that was enacted was in California, and then the rest of the country kind of followed suit. And the reasoning set forth for these medical malpractice caps is really the most infuriating part of this entire thing, because the reasoning given is, number one, that it brings down malpractice premiums for doctors. That if there weren't medical malpractice caps, the premiums that doctors would have to pay on their liability insurance would be way too high. And if they're way too high, then the next reasoning is there's going to be a doctor shortage, because people aren't going to want to be doctors because of this massive exposure to liability, and then you'll have a doctor shortage in your area. Well, there has been multiple studies done, and there is zero evidence, and there has never been any evidence that medical malpractice caps decrease liability premiums whatsoever. There has been zero evidence that there is a threat of any type of doctor shortage. Some other reasons are that it's going to lower healthcare costs, and that it's going to reduce defensive medical practices. Again, there is zero evidence that it lowers healthcare costs. The defensive medical practices is basically a cop-out by the medical industry. And it's them saying, hey, if we didn't have a cap on these damages, we are going to be more concerned about ourselves than you. Because we are going to then say, oh, yeah, you need this surgery or you need this procedure, but I'm not willing to do it. Because if I do it and I make a mistake, you can sue me. That's essentially what these doctors have said and established as a reason why these caps are needed, which is pretty mind-blowing that they would even be willing to speak that out loud, that that's one of the reasons why they need caps. But one of the good things that have come over the past 5 or 6 years in a more steady volume, and it's been going on since the early 90s, are there is a lot of challenges to these medical malpractice caps, basically saying that they violate the Constitution and that therefore they're unconstitutional and should be invalidated. A variety of states have been successful with presenting these arguments and have gotten the medical malpractice caps overturned. For example, in Missouri, there was a $350,000, medical malpractice cap on pain and suffering, and it was found to be unconstitutional because it deterred the right to a jury trial. That's one argument. There's arguments under the Equal Protection Clause. There's arguments under separation of powers. There are multiple constitutional arguments that could provide a basis to invalidate these medical malpractice caps. Some are successful, some are not. So, for example, the right to a jury trial, they're essentially saying that, well, if you have this cap already there, the jury is limited in what they can give you because it's capped already. So you're taking away my right to have a jury of my peers evaluate my case and give their objective decision because they're constrained by this cap. Similarly with separation of powers, they're saying that this is a judicial issue and the legislature is breaching onto the judicial side by basically deciding what the damages can be in a case, and that the for that reason it should be invalidated because the legislature is coming onto another branch of government and encumbering them. Equal protection, kind of the same thing, that everyone should be entitled to equal protection of the law, and someone that, for example, gets in a car accident and has a plethora of damages is not limited in the amount of damages that they can receive. But if someone would sustain those same injuries in a surgery center by the hands of a doctor, those people are now capped and can only get a certain amount of money. So there's all these different constitutional arguments. And again, some are successful, some are not. But there really seems to be this wave of trying to get these caps invalidated nationwide, which is great to see. I wish there would be some more momentum behind these efforts. But the difficulty is, and as everyone knows, look, doctors have a lot of influence in every community they're in. They're usually on a wealthy end of things. They have lobbyists. They have people that can represent their interests with these different legislatures and help their caps remain in place, which then leaves, you know, this protection in place for them that no other profession gets. Look, I certainly am not going to get up on my soapbox as a lawyer, but if I commit malpractice and I cost somebody $20 million, I'm on the hook for $20 million. I'm not on the hook for $200,000. But if a doctor causes somebody $20 million worth of pain and suffering, it's capped. It's same for a psychologist or, any other CPA, any other profession that would be sued for some type of malpractice or breach of fiduciary duty doesn't have any type of cap on their damages. But doctors have been able to spin this narrative, and that's really what it is. It's just them spinning this narrative of, look, if we don't have these caps, we can't properly treat you. Our premiums would be too high, and we're going to leave the state. Well, hold on a second. There needs to be more evidence here. There needs to be more given to us to make it clear that the reasons these caps are put into place are really accomplishing the goals you're saying they're meant to, because there's nothing there. And if your only reason for needing these caps is because you're going to be nervous to practice the correct type of medicine, well, give me a break. I mean, come on, that can't be your only explanation for needing a cap on damages. I mean, I have seen lives ruined because of the negligence of a doctor. And look, everybody has a bad day on the job. Everybody does. I am in no way saying I work with doctors every day. I have the utmost respect for most doctors. There's always bad apples in every profession. I'd say the same thing about the legal profession. And I am by no means saying that a doctor's life and career should be ruined because of a bad day on the job. In no sense am I saying that. But if you're ruining someone else's life by your negligence, you shouldn't be just able to walk away scot-free with a cap on damages. Maybe your insurance premium raises a couple bucks, and that's that. That just does not seem just. But unfortunately, that's the system that we're in. So most of the time when people come to me with a medical malpractice, and the other when you get involved in a medical malpractice lawsuit, they are the most expensive cases to try, the most expensive cases, because you need experts to even file them. You need an expert in the medical field to say what occurred would be considered medical malpractice. And you can't even file that lawsuit without two affidavits from medical experts saying that, which you have to pay, obviously. And then it's usually a battle of the experts saying, one side saying, yes, it's medical malpractice, the other side saying, no, it's not. So they are extremely expensive cases to try. And at the outset, if you know that the damages are capped and those are you're going to be the largest amount of damages you could really seek, a lot of times it just doesn't make sense to pursue the medical malpractice case because of the system that has been put in place. So you have these people that have a legitimate injury. They have a legitimate case, but I have to sit in front of them and give them the reality of the situation and say, look, this just doesn't make sense from a number standpoint. And to sit in front of someone that has just had their life impacted forever because of the actions of a doctor and have to talk numbers with them is terrible. I mean, it gives you this pit in your stomach to have to break it down with numbers when this person's saying, well, who cares about numbers? My life is forever changed. And I get that, and I understand that, and I feel terrible for them, and I hate having to do it. But when it comes down to it, if the case is going to cost $250,000 to even try, and we have these damage caps, that it's not automatic that you're going to get the maximum amount of the cap. That's just the maximum you can get. In the case, you know, maybe you're going to get $150,000. It doesn't make sense to pursue it. But those caps really make it that way. So, you know, I really just wanted to cover the topic, number one, because it's something that I've spent a lot of time researching, that I have a lot of knowledge on because of what I did in law school and the paper that I've written. And my dad actually challenged the Nevada medical malpractice cap here in Nevada, had a case taken to the Nevada Supreme Court based on an equal protection constitutional argument. Unfortunately, it was unsuccessful, and the cap was held to be valid. But I've been involved with it a lot, and just I don't think a lot of people are aware of this situation. And without an uproar by the people to say, hold on a second, something needs to change here. There is something that needs to change. Am I saying that it has to be unlimited? Look, I can see where that would certainly present some issues, I guess. But like I said, for any other profession, it's unlimited. There's no cap. But certainly the caps, the way they've been instituted, it's an unfair prospect. And it deters legitimate litigation. And that's the that's the biggest problem. When we have cases, everybody should be free to enter the courtroom and file their case and have their day in court. And these caps deter legitimate litigation. And that shouldn't be the case. It really should not be the case. And that's why some states have been successful. Some people, I should say, have been successful in getting these statutes invalidated because there are those constitutional violations. But without more momentum, and I think there was a lot more momentum a couple of years ago with this cause and trying to get these caps overturned, I think there's just been so many other things kind of going on in the world and in the political sphere that this kind of got pushed back to the back burner. But, you know, I really hope over the coming years it kind of gets back to the forefront and we just take a look at it. It, just like anything else that, you know, these were instituted back in the, like I said, they started being instituted back in the 1970s. And you need to revisit things and kind of update them to fit with the current situation. And these statutes haven't been looked at in most cases in decades. So I wanted to provide this information to people to give them the knowledge like we always do here. And hopefully, you know, maybe inspire people to pick up that banner and go and maybe make a difference in this realm. And it's difficult. I'm not saying it's easy because, again, these medical lobbyists, there's a ton of them. They have a lot of power behind them, a lot of money behind them. And, again, I don't want it to sound like I'm totally against doctors and they're evil and they should be punished. I'm definitely not saying that. Doctors are fantastic people. You know, most of them, they do great things. But there needs to be some more fairness built into this system because it's, in my opinion, it is broken. In my opinion, I believe these statutes and these caps are unconstitutional for a variety of reasons. And that needs to be addressed. It really does.
Well, do you think that the real driving force behind these policies and the caps is really the insurance company? Because they're the ones that will be settling the suits and they're the ones who have huge amounts of reserves and money. And considering insurance companies aren't just insurance companies. I mean, for most people, they don't realize that they finance and fund just about every industry on the planet, from movies to the actual insurance to large corporations to everything. The insurance companies are behind everything because they have all the money. So do you see that really is the reason why the caps haven't moved in all these years? Because they've gotten more powerful and they don't want the caps to be removed because then they'd have to lose their position of power in regards to having more money.
I mean, it's absolutely a huge factor. It absolutely is. And usually the insurance companies are the main driving force. And in this case, the reason why these are so difficult to overcome is because you're absolutely right. The insurance company is a driving force, but then you also have the medical industry backing them. And so when you're going up against two of the most powerful industries in America, I mean, when you look at insurance and medical and pharma, I mean, those are the biggest. You look at the Fortune 500, I mean, a large percentage of them are insurance and medical and pharma companies. I mean, they're talking some of the most influential political people in the world. So when you have those two industries combined that are working against these caps, I mean, it is almost an insurmountable mountain to overcome. But, you know, it's something that has to be done. Because it's just going to, you know, if tomorrow they decided, you know what, $350,000, we feel that's actually a little bit too much. Let's bump it down to $200,000. I mean, that is more likely right now than increasing it or overturning it completely because of how much power these industries have politically. And that's a scary prospect. I mean, that it really is a scary prospect to think these things could go even lower than they already are. But, you know, you know, insurance companies, like you said, they're involved in every industry, in every profession, and they have something in this industry, you know, a cap on damages that they don't want to let go of, absolutely. But once, you know, obviously that insurance policy is taken up to a maximum level, once the damages go past that, then it's out of pocket by the doctor. So if they have a $1 million policy and the damages are $2 million, that all of a sudden is that has to come out of the doctor's pocket. The insurance company's only going to obviously cover up to their maximum limit. So that's why I say the doctors are right there with them saying, hey, we need to make sure these things stay right where they are. And the problem is they threaten to leave the states, but they never do. They never do. And it's, you know, if every state invalidated malpractice caps, they try to make it out like there's not going to be any doctors. Well, of course there's going to be doctors. But what the argument is, well, if Nevada invalidates malpractice caps, all the doctors are just going to move to a state that has malpractice caps. Again, that has not been shown to be true. When you look at states that either never had a cap or have had their cap overturned. So give me something. Give me some legitimate reason with some backup information as to why these caps are necessary. Because so far you've given me nothing.
Yeah, if you're going to get an excuse, at least make it a little bit real. Make sure it has a little bit of sense to it as opposed to something that's not even close. But at least be in the ballpark. And
exactly.
You got to help me out. Just give me a little smidgen that I can say, all right, I kind of see that a little bit, as opposed to, you know, the real reason is because all the doctors on the planet Earth would actually all move to North Dakota. And you're like, that's not going to happen. So at least give me something that makes a little more sense, where then they would maybe, you know, who knows? But it's just, like anything
just
else. They're going to rewrite it. I give them credit, though. I mean, if they pulled it off this long and they've ridden out the excuse and nobody's doing anything about it, well, you know, it's working for them. It's
exactly.
Not working for everybody else, but in general.
Exactly. Just give me the real excuse. The real excuse is that
we don't want to pay. We don't want to pay.
Exactly. We don't want to pay. We don't want to come out of pocket for these damages. Okay, I get that. But guess what? No other profession does either. No other profession wants to pay for a bad day on the job. But you know what? They all do. You're the only one that has a cap. So why? Why?
Yeah.
And again, I really don't want this to be perceived as I'm saying this because I'm a lawyer and I don't have a cap. That is literally not my motivation in this whatsoever. It really comes from the fact of I have personally seen with my own eyes how much these caps can impact someone's life that has been changed forever. And it just doesn't add up to me. It just doesn't. When you look at something and you're just like, that doesn't make sense. And that's really what it comes down to. It just doesn't make sense. It's great for them, but for their patients, they really get put in an unfortunate position sometimes. And that's just not right. It's just not right.
Well, and as your job as protector of the people, you wanted to share. So I appreciate that.
Exactly.
You know, I had no idea there was caps and you know, it doesn't necessarily matter unless it's happened to you or it happened to a family member or friend. So it's always out of sight, out of mind. But then all of a sudden, once it does affect you personally, it becomes – something that you care about or are passionate about. It's like anything else that we talk about on the show. You know, we just we try to get the information out there because at some point, some topic that we touch on will affect everybody's life at some point. So,
absolutely. What were you going to say? You are lucky enough. You are lucky enough to live in a state that has damage limits prohibited by your state constitution. Just so you know.
Well, chalk one up for Arizona because there is so much stuff here that's so messed up. So one for us and hey, yeah, there's a laundry list of stuff here that I just go, wait, come on. I scratched my head. I said, what? So at least we got one.
Exactly.
Yeah. So the two that I can just off the top of my head real quick. One, the real estate purchase contract, it's probably the most brilliant thing they've ever created here because it's actually simple and it really does make a lot of sense. And now the medical malpractice. So the two that I can think of that Arizona really has done well and a pioneer in these states is there's two. Two out of like 10 million.
Hey, at least you got
man.
Two. You know?
At least
you got something.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, go Arizona. Yeah.
Exactly.
Well, Robert, I am always impressed and I'm always grateful for the information you share with our listeners. And I know that they appreciate it too. Thank you so much.
And thank all the listeners again for the support. Please like and comment, enter into the giveaway so you can get the gift cards we were talking about. And there's a great example. I know this episode will be coming out tomorrow, I think, and there's a great example of what Michelle just said about kind of what we talk about overlapping with current events that Michelle just posted on all the social media of the show with some parents fighting at a sports event. So definitely check that post out because it's fantastic to see.
Oh, my God. I saw it the other day. It's a seven-year-old and a baseball little game, and the umpire was 13, and then the parents just went to town, like, on the kid and then on each other, where, I mean, it was a full-on brawl. So it is – I mean, it's funny to watch, but – we talked about it 2 weeks ago. So we're trendsetters, man. Not like we want
exactly.
it to happen, but it's like
no.
you say, it's just a matter of time. So it's not if, it's when.
Absolutely. Thanks so much, Michelle.
Oh, you're the best, my friend. Swinnick and Massey out.
Another great episode with my good friend, Robert Massey. Robert will be delivering the Massey Memo on the first and third Fridays of every month. All of our guests and experts' information and their shows are listed on our website, everythinghometalkshow.com. We encourage you to check it out and begin to use it as a resource to meet, hire, and learn from good people doing good business and good things. Just click anywhere on their banners and enjoy the show. You can also listen and subscribe to Everything Home on iTunes, Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, TuneIn, Player FM, and Blog Dog Radio. We're making it very easy and convenient for you to listen to us and enhance the quality of your life. And remember to like and follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. And feel free to send us an email or message on which topics you want to hear about and which guests you want to learn from. I appreciate you listening. Make it a great day, everybody.